7. We're going to start in verse 13 and read through 29. Two ways, part two of this message. It says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." Let's pray. Father, again, it's a blessing to be in your house. Again, it's a blessing to be able to preach your word. Father, I thank you for the opportunity, and I don't take it lightly. I thank you for each opportunity I get to preach. I pray, Father, that you would give me boldness to proclaim your word. I pray, Father, that you would give me the very words to preach. I pray, Father, that you would give us ears to hear. And I pray, Father, that we would take your word and share it with a lost and dying world. I pray, Father, that people's hearts would be changed for the better because of you. And we thank you for what you're going to accomplish this morning, for it's in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Just kind of a quick recap to get us springing off into this. The number two has great significance in the Bible. As I mentioned before, there's two tables of stone, two sons of Aaron. Abraham had two sons. Isaac had two sons. Two in the tabernacle. There were two goats, two turtle doves, two pigeons, two oxen used together. Samson, there were two pillars, two witnesses, two resurrections. Tribulation has two periods, two by two, as they went into the ark. Two sets of brothers in the 12 disciples. The widow's two mites, two thieves on the cross. Two shall be grinding, two in the field. Two births and two deaths, two foundations in our text. And there are two ways you can go at the end of this life, and it depends on the decision and the choices that you make now. It's amazing how many people, and I shared the other day that we went out and visited some people and thought that they were supposedly saved and just out of church and needed some encouragement, and so we went to visit them, and they were not. From all accounts that I could see, there was no salvation there. They were rude and not happy we were there. All I can do is pray for them. All I can do is pray for them. But we did what God's called us to do. We're supposed to go and share the gospel. If they refuse it, there's nothing more we can do but pray for them. And so we need to do that. But they have to make a choice. And my prayer is that they will choose the right choice before it's too late for them. But Satan always has a counterfeit to God's plan. Last time we had looked at two ways to heaven. man's way, which is a works-based salvation, right? I'm doing everything I can. I should be able to go to heaven, right? I've heard everything from, well, I've been such a good person and I do such good things for others that I should get to go to heaven. Why would God keep me out of heaven when I'm such a good person? Well, what does the Bible tell us? There's none that doeth good, no, not one. So that kind of does that away, right? And then we have God's way, and God says, give me your life. Give me your life. See, people think it's all about doing, 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 and it's not. It's about being. Just about letting God work in your life. Let God be your life. Then two ways to happiness. Man's way is, give me the world, right? The rich man was confused about happiness. People think that things are going to make them happy. You know, every time I think about that, I think back to Brother Sommerdorf when they got the new motor coach years ago when the kids were still there. And one of the kids kicked that door shut and had a rock in their shoe and scratched the door. And he said, it just, you know, And then the newness wore off, right? Because now there's a scratch in it. Do things make us happy? No. If we're honest, no, they don't. Do they give us joy in our life? Sometimes. But do they make us happy? No. The newness wears off, right? And then we got to have the latest and greatest. Why do you think they have all these commercials out there with all these known figures trying to promote things, right? I mean, you get the latest and greatest telephone, cell phone, right? And what's the first thing they do? They're after you to trade it in and get the next one, right? One of my favorites is the latest thing they're trying to do is they keep sending me these text messages that I can trade my phone in no matter what the condition is and get $500 off their next phone. I've never spent $500 on a phone. Does that mean they're giving me it free? Oh, no. No, it's like $1,500. So I'm going to get $500 for the old piece of junk that they want back, and I'm going to have to spend $1,000 to get their new piece of junk. No. It's crazy. But people think that that's what's going to make us happy, right? You got to have the latest and greatest. You got to keep up with the Joneses. No. That stuff doesn't make us happy. But God's way to happiness is just give me your life. Give me your life. So today we're going to pick up with two ways to live. Two ways to live. Pick up in verse 24 of our text where it says, wherefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. As you look at that, one built the house, right? So I'm talking about two ways to live, two ways to build. Are you going to build your house upon the rock so it withstands? I know the other day we had quite the windstorm came through at our house. It was Thursday night, as a matter of fact. And I mean, it was bad. And my wife looked at me and she said, are we going to have church tonight? This is pretty bad. And I said, honey, we have no idea what it looks like in Spokane Valley. It could be totally calm and everything could be wonderful over there. And it was a little while later, the wind died down and the rains came and it poured. I said, glad my house is on a sure foundation. Now, how about the sand? Ever been out to the beach, built a sand castle, and what happens? Water comes up, washes it right out, right? Who are we building our lives upon? The Lord Jesus Christ, a solid rock, or on the sinking sand? Look at 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 3. First Corinthians 3, we're going to look at verses 11 through 15. First Corinthians 3, starting in verse 11, it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." A man's way. Man's way is sand, the wood, hay, and stubble. That's man's way. Talking about your Christian life is what this is talking about here. It's speaking about what you do after you get saved. This is what we're doing after we get saved. And again, everybody thinks it's doing, doing, doing. Just being. Just being. Just let God work in your life. Just let God have preeminence in your life, right? Everyone will build one of two buildings. If you live for things and thrills, which so many do, then you're building the wood, hay, and stubble. And wood, hay, and stubble, I don't know about you, but every time I put wood, hay, and stubble on a fire, it burns up, right? I remember years ago, I was in a house, and we were standing in the basement. As I looked up, and I said, "When did you have a fire?" And he said, "Fire?" And I said, "When did you have a fire?" And he said, "We never had a fire." I said, "This was like this when you bought it?" And he said, "Yeah." And I literally took my pen out of my pocket and I stuck it through the floor joist from upstairs. And it just went right through it. And I said, "We're going to continue this conversation outside, because I don't want to be down here when this comes through, and I don't want to be up there when that goes down." And he said, "They told us that once you burned it, it made it stronger." And I said, "Seriously?" Now, I don't know about you folks, but every time I put a log on the fire, it burns up and it becomes ash, right? There's nothing left of it. It hasn't made it stronger. It has burned it up. The same thing happens in our life when we build upon wood, hay, and stubble. That stuff's going to be burned up. It's not going to account for anything. There will be nothing left. You'll have nothing to show for your Christian life. Nothing. There will be no crowns to place at the feet of Jesus during the judgment seat of Christ. I remember we had a conversation with a gal, and she says, "Well, if once saved, always saved, then I can't lose my salvation. Why should I live according to the Word of God?" "Well, because you can earn crowns that we can cast at His feet." "Well, why do I care about that?" That's the wrong attitude, folks. The attitude should be that we want to live for Christ because we love Him. We were talking about this yesterday at the breakfast meeting, and it's not out of duty. We do it out of preference. We prefer to do what we do because we love our Savior. Not that we have to do it, right? Jesus didn't say, "Do this or I'm going to, you know, slit your throat and take you out of here." But we do it because we want to. And this idea of, why should I do it if there's nothing in it for me? Well, I don't know about you folks, but God's given many blessings in my life, and I like the blessings. Now, don't get me wrong, if salvation is all I got, it'd be more than enough. I'd be thrilled with salvation and only salvation, but the benefits, all of the blessings, I'm not going to turn them down. I'm enjoying the blessings. I'm enjoying the benefits of being a child of God. Now, I'm not going to stand here and tell you that they're all, everything's easy street. It's not that way. But it is easier walking with the Savior. You're going to stand before Him as a Christian, naked and ashamed, because you decided that what you wanted to build was wood, hay, and stubble. And it burned up, and there's nothing left. Let me tell you today, don't build with those things. Don't build with wood, hay, and stubble. Then God's way is rock, gold, silver, and precious stones. I like when I read about heaven and the streets are paved with gold. And what do they tell you today, right? Invest in all the precious metals because that's where all the riches are going to be, right? I'm going to get to heaven and I'm going to be walking down them streets of gold going, they used to think this stuff was so precious, right? And it's one of those things, right? What is gold? It's a commodity, right? What's silver? It's a commodity. What's the money that you might have in your pocket right now? It's a commodity. It's something that is a tool, right? I got news for you. One day they're all going to be nothing. But God says we need to build His way. We need to look at the precious stones and the gold and the silver, right? We need to build upon the solid rock. And this is talking about service and sacrifice, soul winning and submission. When was the last time we were willing to submit to God? You know, we get people and they'll come and they'll visit the church here and they'll go, man, we just need programs. Where's your auditorium? Where's your basketball, indoor basketball court? Where's your, you know, all these, we need all these programs because you're not going to reach the world unless you have all these things going. How big's your softball team? How big's your, you know, on and it goes on and on and on. I don't know, folks, but I've read through the Bible many times in my life, and I don't see anywhere in there that says I need to have a big gymnasium. I don't see in there where it says at all I have to have a big softball team. Doesn't, in fact, I don't see where it says I have to have one at all. When I'm looking for a place to worship, I want to know, what do they stand on? What are they singing? What's being preached? What's being taught? I want to know something that is spiritual going on, not something that's worldly going on. God says, I want your life to be a holy life. God says, be holy, for I am holy. A life patterned after the Word of God, the holiness of God, a life surrendered to God. Vance Havner said this, and I quote, Christianity is not a happiness cult. It is not a success cult. At heart, it is the process by which God makes saints out of sinners. We are predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son. We are not on a glorified picnic, a sanctified hayride. End quote. I thought that hit the nail on the head. We are afflicted nowadays with cheap Christianity, kind of religious popcorn diet, no cross and no discipline. Well, why do we have to discipline ourselves? We can have it all and we can have it now, right? Just drive down any of these major roads. You've got billboard after billboard after billboard, right? Do you know it used to be along the freeway? You could not have those big lit up signs because they were a distraction. Now what do they got? These big, huge signs and they flash different. This one along out here, just off of Argonne, that used to be so bright that if you were driving at night, that thing would just blind you. And it's like, seriously? Why do they spend all those hundreds of millions of dollars in advertising? Well, because to make you unhappy with your life. Because if you can be unhappy with your life, you're going to spend some money to change that. Because it's all about things. It's a cheap form of Christianity. We receive the word with joy, but we have no root nor depth and are soon offended. I have to tell you, it used to be it was really hard to offend somebody who was a child of God. Because they just let things roll off, right? Now it's like, I can be offended because somebody looked over at me and they weren't smiling when they did it. It's like, for crying out loud. If that's what offends you, you need to get over it. Life is too short, folks. Over and over and over, we see that in the world. Life is way too short. And yet, we can be offended so easily. There are too many religious hobos trying to go to heaven as cheaply as possible with just enough prayer, Bible reading, and service to get by. It's all they want, right? But in the judgment, those lives are going to go up in smoke. Not talking about that they're losing their salvation. I'm talking about anything that they've done is it's for themselves, right? Paul tells us that the only sure foundation is Jesus Christ and that we should build on that foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones if our lives are going to stand the test of fire. We mix, though. We have this idea that we can mix the wood, hay, and stubble in with it. There's something wrong with that mixture. Then there's two ways to die. People say, well, no, people die a lot of different ways. No, there's two ways to die. Rich man in hell, right? In fact, the Bible says, the rich man died and in hell. Did you notice the rich man didn't take the long way home? It was the rich man died and in hell. You say, well, no, there's all kinds of different places you go first. And then, no, the rich man died and in hell. Not some place that I recommend people try to get to. The Bible talks about it a lot. Without Christ, the rich man went to hell. It's a matter of fact that if you die without Christ, you go to hell. You will die one of two ways, with Christ or without Christ. I still found it really interesting when my dad was given the terminal cancer diagnosis, and they said, we're sending you home to die. And he said, well, there's somebody out there worse off than I am. I thought, what? He said, somebody out there was sent home with the same diagnosis that doesn't know Christ. I said, okay, well, I get that. I mean, I can live with that part, right? But I was thinking, how does he think there's somebody worse off than that? But he was going home. If we die without Christ, we end up in hell. If you ignore the teaching of the Bible about God's sacrifice made for the atonement of man's sins, then you will die without Christ and you will go to hell. An unsaved person dies twice. The first is physical, the second is spiritual. Look at Revelation chapter 20, please. Verses 14 and 15. Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15, it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. See, as I said, you die without Christ, you go to hell. It's not the final destination. Then you end up in the lake of fire. Lazarus in heaven with Christ and without fear. Lazarus died, and went to heaven. Well, when Lazarus died, he went to paradise, right? For those of us who know the Bible, it went to paradise, but then Jesus took paradise with him when he rose and went to be with the Father in heaven. With Christ and without fear, you spend eternity in heaven with Christ and without fear. This world is full of fear, right? Isn't it interesting? The more they can make you fearful, the more they can control you. But what does the Bible say? First of all, it tells us God did not give us the spirit of fear. That comes from Satan. Two, we don't need to fear what man might do to us, because God's got us in his hands. People say, well, yeah, but man could still shoot you and kill you, or man could still choke you to death, or man could... I'm still going to live forever, folks. As a child of God, I'm living for all eternity. So yeah, this body's going to lay down in death at some point. And by the way, we don't get to choose how. And we don't get to choose when. It's amazing. I've seen people that all the doctors, all the specialists that they could come with would say, there is no reason this person should still be alive. After what they endured, they should not be alive. Heard a story about a guy who was shot 4 times in the chest. He had all kinds of issues. Internal bleeding, internal organs that were damaged, and spleen, and you name it. And the doctors all said, he's not going to make it. And he lived. See, we don't get to choose. We don't get to choose how, and we don't get to choose when. Lazarus, he died and was carried to Abraham's bosom. He did not die the second time. And then two choices to consider. The broad way and go to hell. He said the broad way is religion, tradition, ceremonies, personalities, hope, lifestyle. All these are part of the broad way. Just follow us, right? Just do it this way. Just rely on your own good works. That's what leads to hell. If any of these are your method of going to heaven, you're going to miss heaven and land right square dab in the middle of hell. Man says, God won't send anyone to hell. And you're right. Right? Isn't that that's an accurate statement. God does not send people to hell. They choose to go. Because God gave them a way to escape that. God gave them an out. They're already on the path they started on. God's saying you can leave that path and come to the narrow way, or you can stay on that same path and go where you've already chose you're going. People say, well, I didn't choose. By the way, no choice for Christ is a choice. People don't like that, but it's true. God says, I don't want you to go to hell. In fact, the Bible tells us that God's desire that everyone, each and every creature, would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That none should perish. That's his desire. God has done everything to keep people from going to hell, yet he gives them free will. They still get to choose. Or you can choose the narrow way and you can go to heaven. The narrow way leads to heaven. Let's look at John chapter 8. And we'll see Jesus' own words about the narrow way. John chapter 8 and verse 24. John chapter 8, verse 24, it says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And then turn over to chapter 3 and verse 18 of John. John 3:18 says, He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So they are already condemned. You want to change that, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then only those who have done the right thing will go to heaven. So what is the right thing? People say, well, living right. No, not living right, but being right. See, we all think it's all about doing, 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 doing. Right? We want to do, 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 do. Let's just be. Let's be all that we can be in Jesus Christ. Starts with submitting, humbling ourselves and submitting. Place your faith in the shed blood of Christ upon the cross and accept that that is full payment for your sins. Yeah. I mean, he paid it all, right? We sing the hymn, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Praise the Lord. Repent towards God. That means that you're turning everything about you over to God. He is in charge. You are no longer in charge. The Bible says you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God, right? Because we don't belong to ourselves anymore. We think we do. We want to, right? Well, I can do whatever I want because I have this little certificate that says I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven and I can no longer be held accountable for my sin. Anybody heard about the consequences of sin? Let's just go to David, right? King David. Now, I love studying about King David. He was a man followed after God, right? Man after God's own heart. And yet, did David sin? Yeah. David was forgiven, right? Why? Because he cried out in repentance, and God restored him. But look at David's life, and look at the family that David had in their lives. And look at what consequences of sin did. See, we think that, let's see, I'll sin, then I'll say the magic words, God will forgive me of that sin, and I can move on, and then I can go commit that same sin, ask God again, and we move on, and I can commit that same sin and move on, and then we think, escape that, right? No, the consequence of sin is still there. Should we sin all the more? The Bible says, God forbid. I like when people say, well, there's only certain people that are going to heaven. Oh, Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. I don't know about you, I'm glad I was in that whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall means it's a done deal. Yeah. There may be some here today who stand at a crossroads. The crossroads is marked with two arrows. One points to the broad way that leads to destruction. The other one leads to the narrow way which leads to heaven. We have to choose what road we want to be on. The world is out there, and they have to choose what road they want to be on. And they get that choice. You know, I've mentioned again, I've read through the Bible many times. Not once does it say you're supposed to go out in the highways and byways and beat them near to death till they get it. It says, compel them to come in. They get to make a choice. Just like we all got to make a choice. We got to choose one road or the other. Which road will we choose? There are huge warning signs standing before that wide gate. They are crying out to you, take the narrow way, enter in at the straight gate, go the other direction. Which one will people choose? They have a choice. Breaks my heart when they reject. Breaks my heart. I know what they're rejecting. They have no clue. But I know. And it breaks my heart. As a child of God, it should break our hearts when people reject. But we have to understand that's their choice. That's their choice. We need to pray because God can soften their hearts. God's still in the saving business. How many people rejected, 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 and then one day accepted that free gift of eternal life? Just have to do it while they still have breath. While they can still turn from the wide gate to the narrow. Let's be praying for those who need to get saved. Let's be doing what we can to get the gospel to them. Let's live our lives in such a way that we are submitting ourselves to God, that people could see in our lives there's a difference. Because we can say all we want, but our walk is going to talk louder than our talks. And people are watching to see how we react to the things that this old world throws at us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's very clear. There are two ways. One of them would be the right way, and one would be the wrong way.